Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
It is a thrill to talk to Lisa Unger. Number one, Lisa, you're a local, which is pretty cool.
I am.
How do you like Clear? Sure. How do you like Clearwater?
I love Clearwater. I've lived here for 16 years, and, you know, it's just a beautiful place to live.
It really is. I haven't moved from that side of the bay since I moved here 28 years ago, and I'm just in love with the people and the scenery and having the beach practically in my backyard. Now, having that kind of really relaxing place to live, does that help you in your writing at all?
It actually kind of does, you know, because it, you know, a lot of my work is very sort of dark. You know, I have this kind of dark and twisted imagination, and I always have. So living in the light is a helpful place for me to be, and I kind of feel like that's how it is for me here in Florida. You know, we have this kind of, you know, lovely lifestyle, and it's very conducive to, you know, tapping into that sort of, you know, creative center. So I've always been very creative here. In fact, I've written almost all of my novels in Clearwater. So I've been here for quite a while.
That is very cool. You've got 14 novels. The latest one is Ink and Bone. What was the inspiration behind that?
Well, I mean, Ink and Bone is, you know, it's even though it is a standalone, it's hard to talk about it without talking about some of the things that came before it.
Sure.
A while back, I started writing about a fictional town called The Hollows, and it's set in an imaginary zone in upstate New York, and that town turned up in a novel entitled Fragile. And Fragile was one of my most personal books. It was it wasn't based on something that had happened in my past, but it sort of in an energetic sense was. When I was 15 years old and living in New Jersey, a girl I knew was abducted and murdered. And that event stayed with me, you know, understandably for the rest of my life. It changed the way I saw the world, and it was something that I think had tried to find its way into other novels before, but Fragile was really the first place where I started to, you know, it sort of really emerged as the story that wanted to be told in that book. So in that book, you know, this town, the Hollows, kind of showed up, and I didn't think that much of the place itself. To me, it could have been, you know, anywhere. It was sort of like the place where bad things are never supposed to happen. And of course, that's nowhere, because bad things happen everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the town felt to me. And then, and a character turned up in that book as well, a psychic by the name of Eloise Montgomery. And when she showed up, I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, a psychic, you know. Even if she's a fraud, that's still really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
So I wound up, you know, wanting to spend more time with her after that book was over and spend more time in the Hollows. And so the Hollows and Eloise Montgomery sort of evolved over a number of books and then a series of three short stories. Actually, it's kind of a novella in three parts called The Whispering Hollows. And so during the writing of The Whispering Hollows, which is really an exploration of Eloise Montgomery, I came to know her granddaughter, a 20-year-old girl by the name of Finley. And, you know, she's got a gift that she'd rather just give back. You know, she's got the same type of abilities that her grandmother does, although they're slightly different. And when I met Finley in those three short stories, I knew she needed her own book. And so that's where that was the sort of long, twisting road to Ink and Bone, even though it is a complete standalone novel.
When you speak of your characters, you're speaking in a very personal sense. Is that the way they present themselves to you in the creative process?
Oh, definitely. I mean, a long time ago, I stopped thinking about characters as people that I create and started thinking about them as people that I meet, because they really, even though that's not entirely true of the experience, it's definitely the way I perceive it. You know, I feel like a lot of times they're just sort of there with their, you know, I hear their voices, and often it's character voice that draws me into a novel or a book, and they really do feel, in a kind of a real sense, separate from me and outside of my control. But definitely in every character, I have a sort of intimate relationship with every character in all my books.
How do they introduce themselves to you when you're sitting down to write a novel? How do they start working their way into your mind?
Well, it's kind of an interesting process. I mean, just basically the way I write is, you know, I mean, the germ, the seed for a novel, much like the seed for a character, can come from anywhere. It could come from a news story or a line of poetry or even a photograph. And, you know, a lot of times when I have this kind of moment, there's like a jolt usually or like a sort of a deep curiosity about something. I start doing research, and if the best way I can explain it is if that research connects with something, you know, bigger that's going on within me, I'm going to start to hear a voice, or I'm going to start to see something over and over again, a scene over and over again, and then I'm going to, you know, sit down to write. And when I sit down to write, I don't, you know, I have maybe a voice, I might have some nebulous idea of where we are or where we're going, but it's really those characters that, you know, sort of show up day to day on the page, and I don't really know every day what's going to happen, who's going to show up, what they're going to do. I don't know how my book certainly is going to end. And I'm not even 100% sure what it's about until it's done.
Do any of your friends or families ever recognize a little bit of themselves in your books?
I have had people recognize themselves, and not all of them have been happy about it. And, you know, and honestly, I'm always a little surprised, because I think, gosh, how arrogant, you know, that you think that you're, like, you know, in my book. I mean, don't you know that it's all about me?
I love that. What drew you to this style of writing? The type of genre you've chosen?
I don't know that I chose that any more than I chose to be a writer in the first place.
Okay.
You know, I think I've always sort of thought of myself as a writer. I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't think of myself that way. And I've always had, like I mentioned, this kind of like fascination with, you know, the dark and twisted aspects of life. And I'm also fascinated by human nature. What makes us who we are? You know, is it nature? Is it nurture? Or is it, as you know, most people believe now, some impossibly complicated helix of both of those things? And, you know, so I'm really interested in the human psyche. To me, that's like the ultimate mystery. And so I feel like I wind up pressing into these dark places, you know, just because I want to know what's there. I want to know what makes people tick. And I feel like crime fiction, or, you know, whatever we're calling it these days, mystery, thriller, or crime fiction, I feel like that's always been the place where I go to try to understand people, you know, to answer the questions I have about, you know, the human psyche.
Oh, yeah.
Usually the question is something like, what's wrong, you know, with people?
you could write a lot of books just with that one question right there. What's wrong with you?
That's exactly what I'm working on. Yeah. That's the question I'm trying to answer more than any other question, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. What kind of a novel would you get out of our current political situation?
Oh, no, you cannot write this. Nobody would ever believe it. Nobody would believe it. You couldn't write what's happening right now in our country.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yes.
You're going to be at the Festival of Reading happening on the USF St. Pete campus on November 12th. Do you like getting out and being able to go one-on-one with students and people that are interested in what you do?
I do. It's interesting because most writers, and myself included, you know, we're really introverts. Like, you have to be an introvert to be a writer. Mm-hmm. You can't log those kind of solitary hours unless you're nourished by it. You know, it's just a fact. But, you know, I also happen to really enjoy connecting with, you know, readers and booksellers and librarians and students. And, you know, that's also, you know, as a published working author, I mean, that's a big part of your job, too. So you have to kind of connect to that aspect of your personality. So the Times Festival, as you know, I can't even count how many times I've been to the festival, and every single time it is just better than it was the last time. I mm-hmm. mean, it's just a great collection of people and authors, and it's really super intimate in that you really do get to connect one-on-one with the people who are presenting. So it's a great experience for readers, and I always look forward to it.
Oh, I believe that. Do the questions ever surprise you? Has anybody ever hit you with a question that just blew you away?
I'm trying to think. I did have a question that blew me away recently at a book group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I often visit book group discussions, and you know, a lot of times you do get, you know, questions that you've heard before, but, you know, that's just part of it, too. You know, everybody, like a lot of people, you know, because you're an author and you're out on the road a lot, you think that a lot of people are going to book signings all the time, but that's actually not true. Sometimes you meet people who have never been to a book signing before, so it's very exciting for them to ask all kinds of questions. So you get a lot of, like, you know, where do you get your ideas,
yeah.
and, you know, what's your writing schedule and stuff like that. So you get a lot of that, but every once in a while you get a question that makes you go, wow, I never really thought about it. And actually in this book group, this gentleman, and there aren't that many guys in book groups, weirdly.
Yeah, I know.
Usually it's a gathering of women. But in this particular group, there's a gentleman who's there every year, and he's been reading, you know, the Hollows books, you know, the books set in my mm-hmm. fictional town. And he asked me a question about the Hollows, and he said that for him, that the Hollows had sort of become, you know, an allegory for life, and that, you know, because the Hollows is different to everyone who goes there. Everybody's having a different experience. Some people are, you know, hearing voices, and some people are, you know, not, you know, some people are having really dark things happen, and other people are oblivious to it. And he asked me, he's like, do you feel that the Hollows acts upon your characters, or that your characters act upon Hollows?
Ooh.
And it was a very, interesting question. And it actually forced me to think about something that had kind of been, you know, tingling at the, like, sort of the periphery of my consciousness. Like, why is the Hollows different for everybody who goes there? And that question kind of, you know, made me solidify my thinking on that.
That's nice when they can trigger something in yourself like that. Anybody that was a really great influence on your life and writing, and not necessarily other writers?
Yeah. Well, my mom was a librarian.
Uh-huh.
So, and she was, you know, honestly, like, I have to say my mom is probably the number one reason why I'm a writer. She and my dad, too, you know, he was, they're both avid readers. So she was an avid reader of fiction, all fiction, you know, and a, you know, avid book buyer. So our house was always, you know, filled with books. And then, of course, I was always at the library with her doing my homework, like, you know, while she was working and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I was always surrounded by books, and there was literally no censorship for my parents whatsoever. Like, if I could reach it on the shelf, get my fingers on it, I could read it. And they were just sort of not, you know, so they had a shelf full of, you know, books. My dad, of course, very not engineer, very like sort of nonfiction oriented intellectual stuff. My mom, like everything from Stephen King to Sidney Sheldon to V.C. Andrews
wow.
to, you know, and then I was always like sort of a literary omnivore, always like sort of in love with the classics, you know, Lady Chatterley's Lover and Wuthering Heights and
wow.
Jane Eyre. So, I mean, just you know, for me, it's all about story and character, like a big story and a big character. That's really, you know, what I'm looking for, like across genre. Like, it does not matter to me, like romance, science fiction, you know, classic literature, you know, popular fiction. So that's kind of, you know, and that's kind of what my mom was. And so also my mom and my dad, you know, My mom loved to go to the movies, and my dad hated the movies.
Ooh.
So my mom would just take me to see whatever it was that she wanted to see, like from a, you know, a wildly inappropriate age, you know, like going. I think she thought, like, you know, this is all going to go over her head, and I don't think a lot of it actually did.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, so I kind of fell in love with Dory from, you know, from my mom. And, you know, and to this day, she's still one of my, you know, one of my early readers.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.